I do think the US is probably accumulating gold in a big way here. And as soon as the central banks don't participate a day or two in the market, it would be normal to see the usual behavior of institutional overbought indicators that people, tend to pay attention to that central banks really don't.
I think silver will, with authority, not just surpass 50, but with authority, really go above 50 and make, new highs that we really haven't seen ever. I feel strongly that that's going to be the case. Maybe it needs some digestion. Again, I'm not changing any positioning here. I know some people try to play that. It's not for me, but I do think that in the next 6 to 12 months, we will see a surge in silver prices. I think copper has been under the radar. I find it very interesting that copper is up on the, yesterday was barely down, and it should be getting absolutely demolished on the day that
Right.
every metal is down, and it wasn't. And silver was down, 7 plus 8% or so, and copper barely down. I mean, that's not usual. And so where is that cyclicality that we tend to see? So there's clearly smart money accumulating copper when things become clear again, and it's like weather. When it becomes clear again, I think copper is going to run.
Cavi Costa, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Good. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing really well. It's finally great to have you on the show. I've been really looking forward to this, especially with the gold and silver markets behaving like they have. A lot of volatility here. We had such a huge run-up, really, since I would argue since the first of the year, actually, probably the last 12 months. And now we've had a violent, just recently, just a violent snapback. What's your analysis telling you? And talk about that.
Well, first, thanks for having me. Well, my view about what's been happening is, look, I mean, some of us would have dreamed to have prices where they are currently, despite the fact that we saw one of the largest pullbacks daily in gold prices in history and silver as well, and the miners. And so I don't think things have changed from a structural view, and how the thesis remains well grounded and supported by historic imbalances that I don't think are going away anytime soon. I think we've had a big push potentially by a certain central bank. Who knows which one? Now, I have my own guesses of what I think it is, but I do think the US is probably accumulating gold in a big way here. And as soon as the central banks don't participate a day or two in the market, it would be normal to see the usual behavior of institutional overbought indicators that people, tend to pay attention to, that central banks really don't. I don't, I'm not looking to trade this decline. I'm not looking to perfectly time these things. I'm not smart enough to do that. I remain with the thesis that gold is in a long-term trend. We're probably going to see, extremely high levels of prices that none of us, are even thinking about here in this interview. But in other words, I think the imbalances are so large that we cannot be comparing these types of rallies that we're seeing today with the 1970s, for instance, where debt was inexistent, that the net interest payment to GDP was sub-zero, sub-1%. And that's not the case. The US needs to drastically devalue the dollar. The US needs to suppress rates. We're in a world where the Trump administration is taking over the Fed basically to lower rates. And I don't blame them. There's not much we can do here. And it's not a US problem. It's a world problem. The world is facing these other issues as well. So I find it hard to believe, we're going to see, central banks going back to not owning gold to a point where, we did see net selling of gold back in the early 2000s or so. I don't think we're going to go back to that. I think that trend has already started, and it's still, I wouldn't call it, very first innings, but, call it third inning or so. That's where I think we are.
Got it. So you made a comment here. You think the U.S. is still buying, and the central bank was more or less. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I just want to make sure I heard you correctly, that you think you're suspicious of who is doing the dumping. Why would they dump here? Is it to take a profit, or is it to manipulate the market, or work that out a little bit for me?
Apologies. I didn't mean to say that dumping is being, I meant to say that the buying has been, I'm very suspicious that the US is doing the buying.
Got it. Got it.
And the reason for it is because if you remember back before even the Scott Bessent became the Treasury Secretary, which became then a very well-known interview, we watched that interview back in during that time when I first heard of Scott Bessent's potential candidacy here. And at that time, we knew of Bessent, obviously, and we knew of his views about gold. But the most important thing that sort of became viral at later stages was the fact that he said something about becoming part of a monetary realignment. And then the whole discussion became about, are we going to see a revaluation of gold to increase collateral of the treasury, give more cash to the treasury to spend on other things? And that conversation sort of dissipated after Scott Bessent was asked that question specifically, and he said, there's no revaluation, we're not thinking about that. Well, let's think about this more logically here. You don't know how much China has of gold. It's clearly an arms race of whoever owns more gold in the world right now. And you don't know if China has more than you than the US. And so if you're a policymaker, you have a few options. You can revalue gold. And if you revalue gold, you got to be certain that you have more gold than the other party because you're about to make gold substantially more expensive to be acquired. So if you're the one that lacks, gold relative to that other party, that's going to make your job much harder. So you don't want that. And so the US doesn't know exactly that probably the how exact those numbers are from Chinese reserves. So what's the second option? Well, you can accumulate in the market and push the price higher, but at least you're also at the same time as you push the price higher, you also buying gold itself and increasing your reserves. And so I do think that we'll know in 3 years from now, maybe 5 years from now, who knows? But I suspect that the US would make a lot of sense that the US would be buying gold here. So understanding Trump's views about gold as well and sort of desperate need to improve the anchor of the US dollar as well and improving its stability at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, you're the third high-profile guest that I've had on the show in the past week who have said something similar. So I think your theory is actually quite correct. Walk me through here just a little bit more about technicals. Did the market get over itself? And talk to me about the miners. The miners had such a great run, really. Again, for going back 12 months plus, if you would. But also specifically since the fall, I would say it's since August timeframe. And I was just waiting for this pullback. But talk to me about that. Is this something that you had expected? And what's a good, I don't know, where do you see it settling, if you would?
I think we're not too far from settling. I don't think we're going to see a big decline here. I think that it would be normal to see some digestion. The price movement we saw yesterday across the board was very severe, but there are some derivatives of gold that tend to really lose momentum when the gold cycle has turned. And we didn't see much of that. And I'm referring to the dollar rising substantially. We didn't see that. We didn't see emerging markets fall apart. So I'm not of the view that this is the peak of the cycle at all. I think that whole narrative that is out there is very incorrect in my opinion. And also, I've never seen the gold market peak with the gold to silver ratio above 80. Now that's very unusual. And so I'm of the view that we haven't seen yet the real numbers that we're going to see at the peak of this. And so Regarding the miners, look, the miners have been developing in a very interesting way. We're starting to see leverage, investors becoming more interested in learning more about these businesses. There's a very total lack of understanding of I guess the complexity of this industry makes it harder to understand how a mining company works. But what is important is at least the appetite has changed from a year ago. So you're starting to see gold miners outperform gold itself in the last, to call it, 12 months or so. And I think that's really attractive. It started really with the bigger miners, and it's starting to move down the chain with in terms of market value. And I think it's only the beginning. I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the near future. I'm excited to see as well the M&A activity starting to really heat up. I think beginning of this was really through the majors, major companies acquiring each other and merging. But now we're starting to see the big companies look for the smaller companies, and that's where what happens there is really because those companies are trying to chase volume. They're trying to increase their reserves. And since exploration budgets remain very low relative to history, especially relative to where gold prices are, I believe that that's we're yet to see the big surge of transactions that could happen between big companies and smaller companies. So it's exciting to for those that have over the last few years is strategically trying to deploy capital into this industry, and I think this is a real ex really exciting time. So this change of prices recently does not change my excitement about this overall industry. I think it's one of the most exciting industries of I can see in the next call it 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I would agree with everything you said. And I talked to a lot of CEOs of small junior mining companies, and they've told me the interest level that they're getting from institutional investors is very, very encouraging. But I'm curious, do you see the retail investors starting to come into this space? Just the individual retail investors, are they starting to come in yet, do you think?
At the right before the peak of the market, started to hear from cousins and friends and
That makes me
asking.
nervous.
I know, but the question was interesting. Wasn't if I should buy it. It was should I sell it?
Yeah,
And
you're right.
it was very directed towards I made no, according to them, I made too much money on my gold investment, and I wonder if I should sell. And I thought that was interesting. And I guess they were right. This was maybe 15 days ago or so, or that I really started to see some messages. And that's quite normal, I think. I think that we haven't seen yet the real excitement from the retail side. I mean, the retail I think was really it's really funny how retail works. And I feel bad for it. My goal as these posts as well, it's also to educate that part of the market because I feel bad for them. I feel bad because I feel like they're always behind the curve in a lot of ways. And like for instance, most of the retail guys I know were basically saying, well, I missed the train here, it left the station and it's much higher. And then when it falls, like we're seeing now, they also don't want to come in. So it's like, what helps you? I mean, it's just a very difficult way to change their mindset of investing. And so I've always said this, you really want to lean on your conviction on investments. You don't want to borrow somebody else's thesis or anything along those lines, because that lack of conviction at times when you see challenging periods like today, or yesterday, it comes in handy to be very calm and say, all right, well, this is what markets do. And do I have cash left? Is this the right moment to be coming in and not panic and selling these things? And so I don't know, that's the way I approach this. I also think there's I know there's a crazy focus on gold right now and metals, but there's also all sorts of opportunities in the resource space that I think are emerging here that could be really interesting, energy being one of them. We can get into that too if you would like.
I do. I want to talk a little bit about that because I was looking at and I started nibbling, well, more than a nibble on some natural gas plays and some oil plays. I'm a little bit early on oil. But yeah, I see that as extreme, getting to extreme value where gold was just a few years ago. I should say where the drillers are, where the miners were a few years ago. What's your opinion on that?
I think that's definitely where my view is. I think we're in the 3 years, pushing out 3 years almost of consolidation, if not closer to four now, actually, in this space. And the excitement was high back during the Russian invasion period when people were calling for $200 to $300 a barrel and so forth. I thought also that oil prices wouldn't really take a pause as long as they did. But again, these things are very difficult to time. All you do as a value investor is you look at a company and say, is this a good business? And the second question is the valuation appropriate? And do you like the team and so forth? And then all those other questions come after. And if those answers are yes, then you should probably be investing in it. And that's the case. I'm early as well in oil. I think it's just the right approach to be accumulating over time. The least it's funny, even ourselves, when we see prices going up, we feel that confidence. We're like, yes, I'm right. But you wish you had more. So those days that oil were down significantly, and my gold, companies or silver companies were doing well, I was, I've been nibbling in the oil space quite a lot, and been, looking to get a little bit off the table on the gold side to add a little bit to the oil side. Nothing crazy, but I think it's prudent given the fact that, I thought about, look, what's the risk of my portfolio? If I think about it, I have a very concentrated mining portfolio, and the risk of the portfolio overall is I think, well, yeah, sure, you can say metal prices could fall. It's not my view. I think this is just a volatility, normal volatility in the markets. The second thing that could happen, it's very likely to happen, in fact, is that energy prices could rise and the margins of these companies could get really diminished. And right now, these margins are just, stellar.
Ridiculous.
I don't think we've ever, I mean, we own a private operator. It's the fourth largest silver mine in the world. And we see firsthand, and I don't think this is unique to us. I think this is happening across the board. It's just insane. It's like, and I told the board, I think you guys, we really need to hedge, call it 3 years out of energy costs. Now, energy costs is a very significant part of our production cost, and we did it. We're hedged for 3 years, and we gave up a little bit of free cash flow to do it. And who cares? That gives us, I can sleep at night that I think this mine is gonna, as long as prices of metals continue to stay here or go higher, these margins are gonna remain, really, really high. And so, yeah. So us as investors, retail investors, how do you do that? Like, you don't own an operating mine, and you can't do that. So how do you do it? Well, you just increase your portfolio exposure to energy. You start learning about that industry or that sector, and you decide if it's oil or nat gas, whatever you decide to do, or maybe it's the commodities themselves, and you start acquiring them. So I've been doing that for a while now. It's nothing a ma not a major part of the portfolio, but I just see a lot of asymmetry. I see something that could grow in size and weight. And the same thing I've been doing with emerging markets as well. Emerging markets have been a little less frustrating because they have been in an upward trend recently. Oil has been just in a, in a sideways trend. Well, I remember buying miners going down, right? I mean, that's even worse, people are complaining about energy, but it's been a pretty mellow market. Like, yeah, sure, we've been early, but we have lost nothing here. I mean, it's, I've lost, 20, 30, 40% in investments in mining over the last 3 to 4 years, in the process of accumulating these assets. So I don't know. That's the way I see it. I think it's a great
And a lot of energy companies pay dividends too, so you're getting paid to And it's a healthy dividend. They get paid to hold them. So,
Yeah.
you got to go here pretty soon, but why don't we end on this? What is your expectation really, or do you have any expectations from now until the end of the year? What did, should investors be aware of? Any surprises or anything that, that they need to be aware of?
I think end of the year is a tough one because it's only 2 months left, and I'm not a great trader near term like that. There's a few things I can see it well, but the gold market is going to be a tough one because there's a lot of attention now, and it's very difficult to predict. I would say though, with confidence, that in the next 12 months, I think silver will, with authority, not just surpass 50, but with authority, really go above 50 and make, new highs that we really haven't seen ever. I feel strongly that that's going to be the case. Maybe it needs some digestion. Again, I'm not changing any positioning here. I know some people try to play that. It's not for me, but I do think that in the next 6 to 12 months, we will see a surge in silver prices. And so I remain very focused there. I also think that copper looks very attractive here. I think copper has been under the radar. I find it very interesting that copper is up on the yesterday was barely down, and it should be getting absolutely demolished on the day that
Right.
every metal is down, and it wasn't. And silver was down, 7 plus 8% or so, and copper barely down. I mean, that's not usual. And so where is that cyclicality that we tend to see? So there's clearly smart money accumulating copper when things become clear again, and it's like weather. When it becomes clear again, I think copper is going to run. And so I'm looking for more copper exposure as well. Yeah, look, I get excited about, I guess I'm optimistic in general. So if prices go up, I'm happy because I own a bunch of these things. If prices go down, I consider other ideas of how to increase my exposure, either through a acquisition of a mine privately or my own portfolio. And there's a lot of things to be doing here. So I get excited in any ways. And I, that's the beauty of when you have conviction in a long-term thesis of something. And so and there's a few things out there that you can do that. And I think precious metals and metals in general are going to be very attractive for the next decade. And so I would not be too overwhelmed by the noise that we're seeing.
Got it. Tavi, we got to wrap up, but if people want to follow you, if they want to do business with you, how do they do that?
Yeah, they can find more about us at crescat.net, but also you can follow me on Tavi Costa on Twitter or LinkedIn. If you just type my name there, you probably will find it. And you can follow my recent ideas and posts that I do. And we write letters as well on our website. If you're interested, you can read those letters as well. But thanks for having me. Looking forward to more discussions in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to have you on again. And to all my viewers and listeners, you probably already know this, but Tavi's also a master technician that he posts a lot of technicals that I like to read and follow. Again, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time, and let's do it again soon.
Thanks, Andy.
You bet. Take care.